from the ESV version, the English Standard Version, and it reads like this. I'm going to start right in ones. You catch up to me, okay? John chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll read down. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Verse 6. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. And verse 7 says, a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And verse 9 says, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And I want you to key in on verse 10 right here. Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Turn to somebody and say, you better get to work, and you can be seated. Amen? Here in our text, I'm going to jump right in this evening, because I don't have much time, and I want to get you out here at a decent hour. Here in our text, I want you to key in on verse 10 for a moment. I want you to think about what Jesus is telling this woman, this Samaritan woman. He's telling her, listen, if you only knew who I was, I wouldn't be asking you for a drink. You'd be asking me for a drink. You'd be asking me, I want what you got. And so we find here in our text here that Jesus is all, every time Jesus was going someplace, every time he was doing something, there was always a specific reason why and where he was going. He didn't just do things. This is the Son of God on a mission to save humanity, the eternal fires of hell. And here he is, and he's only in his ministry. He's here for 30 years, and he goes into public ministry, and then he's only got 3.5 years. He's only a short time to do what he needs to do, so everything he did was very, very intentional, extremely to the point. So he comes upon this woman, and he has this conversation with her. And then in verse 11, picks up, and it says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is very deep. Where do you get that living water? You can see already that she hasn't perceived not one word that the Master has told her, not one word that the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Christ that had been prophesied for long, long before, still she cannot see who he is. She didn't catch it. It missed her. She didn't see it. It was something about her eyes that didn't see it. And he answers in verse 12, says, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. I want you to think about what she's saying right there. She's making reference to her faith. She's making reference that she knows why that well's there, who was given that well to, who gave the well, what it signifies. It was a place, a reference point of God's promises from Abraham, from Isaac. Come on, somebody. There's more than just a well there. This is the well that they come to. It's a well, you might want to call it a religious well. A well of history and legacy, a wall of promise, a well of promise. And so she's mentioning, she's talking to him like she knows that she knows the word of God. Huh? And if she was if she lived in that area, she would have known. But she also knew that Samaritans had nothing to do with Jews. She had to go when there was no Jews there because they couldn't combine. Come on, somebody. Different class of people, kind of. You know, some of you here tonight, you've gotten back your dignity. But some of you still haven't got it back yet. And who the worst is about it? You yourself. Because you won't let your dignity come back because of your past. A lot of you have issues that you have not allowed the Lord to give you your dignity back because you're still too busy beating yourself still. You're still busy. You're still too busy listening to the haters from way back in the day that said you're never going to change and you're going to be just like your dad or like your mom and you're just worthless. And I want you to know something, that God specializes in giving us our dignity back. So he says to her in verse 13, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of the water of this water will be thirsty again. In other words, you take a big drink. An hour later, you're going to be thirsty again. But whoever, in verse 14 says, whoever drinks of the water that I'm talking about, the one I will give him, now he says, I will give him. Listen to what he's saying. Will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And verse 15 says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. So that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water again. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him and says, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in the saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands. And the one you now have is not even your husband. Could have been somebody else's husband. Well, what you have said is true. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all of these things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and were coming to him. I want you to know something. Whenever you come into contact with Jesus, something's about to happen. As soon as you get in the presence of Almighty God, something will happen to you. Her cage was rattled. Something happened to her. Something inside. The moment he made mention of who he was, the Bible says she went down and immediately wanted to go tell people about who he was. See, it wasn't a coincidence that Jesus went to that well. He knew that the Samaritans had to be reached. And I'm sure being God incarnate in a man's body must have known all, he knew all things. He must have thought, who can I pick out? You know what? I want you to know something. I said something this morning in the service, and I don't want to preach it because I'm going to preach it on Wednesday. But I said something about God, how Moses told the people of Israel, and he said, listen, he didn't save you because we were numerous. He didn't save us because we were special. He didn't do it because we earned it. He didn't do it because we were all this and that. He did it because he loves you. And I want you to know that Jesus knew exactly who to pick out. He knew that there'd be a Samaritan woman at that well at that hour. He knew that she would be a woman with no dignity, a woman that had been married five times and now was messing with somebody she shouldn't be messing with. He knew all about her. But when he walked up to her and he looked her in the eyes and said, listen, I'm the one who's going to give you the living water. I can set you free from your spirit. I can set you free from all that's plagued your life, all of your life. I can deal with those issues once and for all, but not just you. Oh, I love the fact that she said, you know what? Listen, I don't know about you. When I first got high, I wouldn't turn all my friends on. I said, you got to check this out, man. And when I got saved, the first thing I wanted to do was go tell all my friends and all my family, you should see what I got. Oh, something happened to me. They did not want to listen to it. But this is what happens. It wasn't a coincidence he picked this girl. He knew that this woman would be there and that she had a calling to make an impact to the Samaritans of that community. He was looking for a worker. He was looking for a leader. Later on in the text, he begins to tell his disciples another version of what we read from Matthew and John. He says, look for the fields are white as harvest. He's beginning to tell his disciple. Before he ever told a disciple, he went to the Samaritan woman and he said, listen, he goes, I can tell you who you are right here. I can get to your past if you want to, but don't look at the past anymore. Let's look at the future. What are you going to do? You're going to get to work. You're going to sit there and just cry and deal with those issues all your life. You see, he was looking for somebody that would be willing to go. He knew where she'd be. He chose her because he loved her. He chose her because he wanted to turn her life around. And even though she had all those broken relationships, even though she was involved in a relationship she shouldn't have been, he still came and chose her. And he picked her out of everybody else. And he said, I want to use your life. And she responded. She fell in love with the Lord. She fell in love with the Master. And she was used mightily of God to impact the Samaritans of that community. You see, first thing I see is Jesus is motivated by hurting people, by lost people, people with issues. We also ought to be motivated by people who are hurting. People who are lost. I know many of you were very emotional this morning to see the Watoto Children's Choir as you heard their testimonies. I was a lost baby. They left me in the street. And the Watoto people came and got me and rescued me. So much to the point that you're willing to give, buy things. I saw people running around with giraffes and running around with jewelry and bags. And why? Because you saw how God touched them. It was a need. You were moved by compassion. You say, wow. And this has already happened for them. They're saved now. But think about the people that found them when they were skinny, the pictures when they had no food. The hurt, the pain that they were involved in. I want you to think about that there's people like that all around you. There's people everywhere around you. And they have no idea what to do. They have religious. They have a well they go to. They have their well they go to. Their religion. They don't know Jesus. They have a picture of Jesus on the wall. Some picture of Jesus on the wall. But they don't really know what he looks like. They don't know what he smells like. They don't know the aroma of his presence like you do. You got it. You're excited. What a sad day it is when God will show up and look for another Samaritan and say, go reach the other Samaritans. And you're like, what? And you miss it. Because see, at first he started missing it. And then he had to bring out the heavy guns. He had to talk, come on, girl. You're trying to act like you don't know what's up. This is what you got. And he starts naming off. And let me tell you all of the guys' names. One was Johnny, one was Ronnie. Stop. Think about it for a minute. I want you to think about, just for a second, think about how he's motivated by the need. Motivated. He has saw the need, so he responds. The disciples are busy. Look what he does. He runs over to a place, and he says, I'm gonna touch this community right now. And how is he going to touch community? He finds somebody that actually has, somebody that has the willingness, somebody that has the guts. See, if this girl had the guts to have five old men, you know, have an old man for every season, and then have a new one now, this girl was bold. So he figured, who could I get? If I get a religious person, they're going to be all judgmental on everybody. You know, religious people, they don't really have true compassion. They say they love God, but they don't because you don't prove it the way they live with people. So he couldn't find a religious person because they weren't going to do it. They couldn't find just like nobody that didn't know anything about God because they wouldn't connect the dots somewhere. So he had to find somebody that was in the mix. And he finds this girl that knows about God. She has a well that she goes to, but she's all messed up. The girl can't keep a relationship, man. She keeps on jumping. She's got five. Now a number six. And it, the way it sounds now, I don't know, I haven't read the commentaries too much on this, but it looks like it sounds like the one you got ain't even your own husband. Like, that might be somebody else's dude. So he picks somebody that can get saved, repent, and will be bold enough and don't... See, that girl walked in the town already. Everybody knew she had five guys. Everybody knows she had a new one now. So she wasn't going to have a problem walking up to everybody and say, you guys remember me, right? Remember me? Well, I want you to know something happened on the mountain. I met a man. She goes, oh, yeah, another one? No. I met a man that told me all my issues. And I want to tell you right now that if you got issues, see, God wants you to get to work. I've titled this message tonight, Get to Work. The fields are ready. You're sitting in church, you're sitting at your job, you're sitting at home jawing about everybody and talking about this and that and about the country. Listen, there are drug addicts, there's hurting families, there's mamas, there's girls just like this, guys just like that, and we're sitting around not reaching them. And I want you to know, if you are reaching people, and you're just reaching one kind of person, listen, there's a lot of other kind of people God wants you to reach. You think, oh, my boss will never listen to me. You'll be surprised. Your boss may be suicidal. May look real strong. She may look real powerful. He may look like he's got it all together, but he may be lost. He may have lost everything. He may be in the middle of a divorce, but he hasn't told anybody. Listen, unless you're willing to share the hope of Christ with them, you may just lose them for good. Listen, I want you to know something here, that this woman had issues, and unless she was ready to deal with her issues, then she couldn't get to work. So immediately there's some dialogue, and she begins to understand and admit to him, yes, yes. And right, look what happens. She was used mightily, the Bible says. If you read down a little further, it says that many of the Samaritans in that town came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Why? A couple of things. First of all, Jesus knew what he was doing. He just focused on that one, and he gave her dignity back. And from that moment on, you know what? Boom, that was it, man. There was no more relationships in and out. I don't know about how, I don't know if she went and got herself a man of God and then she got remarried and she just stayed on the one. I don't know, but whatever happened to her, she got saved. God used her. She got to work immediately. She didn't sit around. She didn't even have to come to LifeFlow. She just got to work. Listen, you don't need life flow in church on Sunday and Wednesday to lead people to the Lord. You should come to that so you can learn how to do this. But man, the moment you get touched by God, you want to turn everybody on. You got to be, you know, like I'm telling you, when I first got high, I'm like, whoa. I said, hey, man, what's up, Jordy? Hey, what's up, bud? Hey, Tim, what's going on, Tim? I'll meet you in the corner over there. You got to check this out. Oh, wow. Why? Because I want to turn them on. And it's like you get a hold of Jesus, and all of a sudden, right now, you want to hold it all to yourself. All tight. I got all tight again. And if you were tight in the world, it's even worse if you do that now. If you're one of them goloso that hold it on to everything for yourself, and you never shared nothing with anybody else, you're tight, man. Don't be tight. Share it, man. Let people know. Let people know what you got. You don't know what people have. If you're in college, if you're in high school, at your job, in your neighborhood, some of you don't even know your neighbors. Because they don't like you or you don't like them or whatever, but that's weird because you're a Christian. We're supposed to be a lighthouse, man. Your house should be a lighthouse. Now, I realize your neighbors might be all messed up. Hey, that's part of life. But you know what? You just keep on shining your light because when they need Jesus, when they finally get to the end of the rope, they're going to say, who can I call? And they're going to say, I know who I can call. Come to the keyboard. See, this is what I really believe. I believe that this is the hour for us to recognize that we have living water and that God has chosen us. He has specifically, not coincidence, put us in Victory Outreach. He has put us right in the heart of a place, of a city that needs Jesus Christ. Another shooting last night, another murder last night, one last week. And the list keeps on going and on and on and on. Since the 1st of January, it doesn't stop. You know, if everybody in this room just made it their business to reach as many people as they could, I don't even know how we could contain it. This morning was a telltale of our church to see it packed out to the fullest it could be, almost like an Easter service, close to it. We could have fit a couple more hundred chairs if we would have squeezed it up. But this is the way our church is supposed to be. People were bringing people. Come, you got to come to my church. Many people that I met today, even new people, said, well, I was brought by this person. They brought me to church. They said, I had to come to see this by their church. See, they didn't come to see me. They didn't come to see you. They didn't come to sing the songs or even be in this building. They came because they have a need, because they have issues. And some of you have issues. You have issues. You're trying, but you have issues. And this is the time. This is the moment to deal with your issues. Because see, while you're not dealing with your issues, you're not working. And we got to get to work. Jesus was looking for workers. He said, the laborers are few. The workers are few. We don't have enough workers. And I'm going to say the same thing as your pastor. We want to reach this community. We want to reach the hurting. I am motivated. Me and Sister Barbara and our team and the leader, we are motivated by the hurting people of our city. And it's not just gang members and prostitutes. Get that out of your mind. Because you know, that could mess you up if you think that's all we're reaching. There's lawyers out there. There's business people. People with paving, that work in paving. People that work in concrete. There's school teachers out there. They're using heroin you don't even know. Yes, we want to reach gang members. That's our calling, man. That's our anointing. Gang members, prostitutes, hardcore drug addicts. But man, there's a lot of different people in our city. And they don't go to church. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that are just lost in our city. They need Jesus. And if you're out there working, if you're out there working the fields, if you're out there ministering the fields, in every aspect of the fields, what's going to happen is that the day you come up on the well, and you know God sent you to that well, God sent you specifically to that well because you know there's some Samaritan woman going to be there or some Samaritan man going to be there at the well, getting to this well, the well they go to. And that moment when they look you in the eye and you look them in the eye and you tell them, you know what, Christ has a plan for your life. He loves you. He has such a plan. And let me pray for you. And then all of a sudden that after he pray for him or her, they get broken and they say, what do I do now? What next you're going to do is I'm going to bring you to church with me, man. Come on, give me your number. Get your number. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something right now. They're going to come in this house and the moment they get in, they're going to feel like they got home. They're going to be like, oh, wow, this is different for me. But wow, I feel something powerful here. I feel the presence of God. Everybody loves me. Everybody's so friendly. Everybody's so loving. And all of a sudden, before you know it, a year later, 2 years later, you can look at them when they've been water baptized, when they've been graduating a life flow class, when they're a life group leader later on, 4 or 5 or 6 years down the line, and you look at them and say, what would have happened if I wouldn't have dealt with my issues and got to work? Some of you got issues you got to deal with tonight. Some of you are dealing with relational problems. Some of you got some sin issues in your life. Some you got some things, man, that are hidden inside of you that you need to just deal with. You know what? Nobody came here. Jesus did not come to condemn us, but to save us and to bring conviction. And if you've got the conviction of the Holy Spirit, deal with your issues. Don't let the enemy keep you bound by thinking, you know what? No, I messed up. And oh man, God could never use me. Oh, that's a lie. That's one of the oldest lies the devil ever told us. I'm here to declare to you that God wants to give you your dignity back. He wants to give you your dignity. You need to understand that even those of you that are leaders and you're in the Christian working field and you're trying to do, but you got a couple of little issues you're dealing with, you're dancing with the devil a little bit. The devil's trying to get you. He's about to pull you in. You better deal with those issues, man, because I've seen bigger and better fall to the wayside. I want you to know that God has a plan for you. He wants to use you, but you still got a couple of little issues, just little baby issues. They're not even big issues, but those baby issues can get infected And if they get infected, you could lose something from it. So if you want to deal with your issues tonight, if you say, I want to be a worker in the field, in the harvest, I want to be one of those that are going to reach the hurting. I'm motivated by the hurting also. I'm motivated by what Jesus is motivated by. I'm motivated to reach the lost at any cost. Then I want you to know something here tonight, that that's you. If you want to be a worker, you want to be a leader one day, you're training right now in the life flow, you're learning right now, then you better deal with your issues. You better say, Lord, this one thing that I'm holding on to, I want it out of my life. I don't want to live like this no more. I'm tired of living this secretive thing. I'm tired of being bound to this thing. I'm tired of getting caught up in the whirlwind every time I turn around. If that's you here today, I'm asking to sing this song. And I'm going to ask you to make an altar call and say, I'm bringing my issues to the altar. Because I want to be a worker. I want to get to work. And I can't seem to get to work. Because I'm full of issues, man. I need God. Oh, I just need you, Jesus. Come on, tell Him. I believe with all my heart tonight is a night that everything changes for you.
Oh, come to me.